The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. He's a man without a face. It's Professor Jeff Boats.
I'm a faceless wonder. I am the ninja. You cannot see me.
Remember, what was it? Dick Tracy, Jeff, the blank was the person who had no like actual vision, but you could see their body. So it's still different from where you are.
I don't remember Dick Tracy very much. So I guess I'll be false face from Batman instead.
How are things going, Jeff?
Not bad. Weathering the initial storm of online teaching, getting used to it.
We all are. Although you were mentioning that you're rather enjoying it.
Yeah, I am. I don't know about the students. I hope they are. I hope they're getting the most out of it.
Sure, absolutely. Professor Dave Chow is here with us.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. And how are things on the other side of Berkeley, Professor Chow?
I'm a little closer to the donut cutter than you are, so far so good.
So far so good.
Yeah. The lineup in the morning's unreal, though.
It's out of control, yeah. Let me tell you. Wow.
We need Dutch Girl to open up to alleviate that pressure, so.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. You know,
I have a suggestion. They should pre-bag, like, half a dozen glaze, half a dozen sugar, and actually stand outside and let people kind of grab and go with, like, the most common things. Just a thought. Pass that along when you're there next time.
Probably Monday morning, so.
Professor Stephen Manning is here from the Department of Retired. Happy birthday, Professor Stephen Manning.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
And what will the festivities surrounding your four-day birthday weekend entail?
It's going to last 4 days. I was not aware of that.
It was a tough birth.
I'm glad you know, you mentioned that. My mother claimed, since it's very close to Labor Day, my mother claimed that there was no Labor Day before my birth. Labor Day was created as a result of the difficult birth.
Wow.
Thanks, Mom.
In commemoration of her experience.
Thanks, Mom. All these years of guilt. Thanks for that.
Thanks. You're talking to a man who was born on D-Day here, okay? I mean, come on.
I was about to introduce Professor Mara Livesey, but I think someone else got to it before I could.
Hello, Jupiter.
Jupiter has found my mic.
Uh-huh. And your jugular, too.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious.
This is why Mia cannot be in my office during classes. She'll do exactly that.
Yeah.
How are things, Mara?
It's a toy on a stick. She's just got to get to.
Things are going good. You know, I'm doing my best as, you know, as I can. And I'm finding the time actually to make a lot of small, like, concept videos that should help me for many years to come.
Excellent. Most excellent. Investment, not just for the semester.
Yes.
Good. Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing, Jim?
Well, it's nice to be here on a Friday.
Absolutely. Friday always feels good. That was one of my big lessons from 6 months of a pandemic. You can't take the Friday out of Friday.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that's necessarily true. Just saying.
Have you taken the Friday out of Friday?
Yeah, that is a good question. I now that's got my mind racing at 1,000 miles per hour. I got to think about it. I don't know. I just don't know. Does it feel like a Friday? All I can say is it reminds me of the classic Seinfeld bit where Kramer's like, "Is it Wednesday? It feels like Tuesday." And they all look at him
Tuesday Friday being Friday all depends on what you've got to do on Saturday.
Right.
That's what makes all the difference in the world.
That is the truth.
There's some truth to that, because I remember working on the weekends in college and having to get up, you know, the shift was 7 to 3 and, you know, not being particularly excited when Friday came around for just that reason.
Yep.
All right. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Heather Hill is with us today.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
You tell us.
Well, yes, I can tell you something. Because I know
how's the book
guys...
coming?
Yeah, yeah. What?
How's the book coming?
Slow. But anyway, yesterday morning, I found a groundhog in the tomato.
No way.
A whistle pig.
Yes,
in your tomato patch.
Ate a bunch of the fresh grape tomatoes off the vine.
Of course.
Yep.
Damn you, rodents.
Those whistle pigs, they will do it.
Yeah. Then it ran into the garage.
Ew.
No.
Did you kill it?
You don't kill it.
And then it started up the mower. And then it started doing the yard work.
That would be good.
Jeff, I'm very thankful for that comment because the first thing I thought of was some sort of sitcom where it runs in and then the car just leaves the garage immediately. The whistle pig.
I'm going to the pet store. I've got $100 and all night.
It was a pretty big groundhog.
Uh-oh. That's not good. Professor Beth Oljar is also here with us today.
Hello.
What's shaking, Beth?
Not much. Looking forward to having Professor Manning and Professor Hill over tomorrow night for some food, some quesadillas.
Day 2 of birthday?
On the grill. Yeah,
excellent.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yummy.
It's going to be a very mild weekend in Metro Detroit, and I, for one, am very thankful.
I know, it should be great.
Yeah, it's like pre-autumn here.
Yes, it is. Last but most certainly not least, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
What's going on?
Not much. Looking forward to the weekend, extended weekend.
That's right. I'm sure you saw me do the classic I'm talking to somebody else thing a second ago because, you know, Enzo may or may not have had his ear against the door to the room that I'm in and says, give them this as a prop because the green mushroom makes that sound in Super Mario Brothers. I'm going to tell him to cool it for a while, okay? Like, take a couple weeks off. He really attacking this like he wants to help you, you know? So and
he's passionate and invested. These are good things.
That's right.
So are they actually playing Mario Brothers?
There are many different modern versions, as in over the last few years of Mario Brothers, but they do play those games. Yes, absolutely. Okay. A mainstay.
Are they able to quit for 2 weeks? Is that the same withdrawal symptoms that you would experience if you quit, say, drinking or food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Psychologically speaking, I think we gotta go there at some point.
Okay.
Folks, this is a program. You could send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram. Or if you'd like, listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. In honor of Professor Stephen Manning's 29th birthday, we have some questions written by Professor Stephen Manning here. And of course, he's on the call, so he's just going to gloat the whole time as he stumps us over and over and over.
Hey, you don't get to answer them.
You can't answer these. And by the way, Stephen, no grading rubric supplied, so.
We pass.
Yeah, we're assuming we'll pass no matter what.
I assume so, yes.
It's a good thing you're retired, Stephen, because you'd be in big trouble with the syllabus people with not putting a rubric on.
Right, no, that's kidding. Right.
What are the class outcomes?
I'll be assessing your every move.
Is Matt frozen? Oh, there he goes.
Uh-oh. Are we losing Matt constantly here?
Matt's stuck.
Oh, my gosh. Well, can you hear me, professors?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Nope, we lost you.
Right, not well, anymore.
Do you think, his kids are playing with
only
the modem?
A certain peanut read specifically for the proper size.
No. We're not hearing you.
Virginia peanut.
You should start that question over again. And
didn't hear the question, but that's my answer.
Yeah, let me try again. This is, of course, by the way, all my fault for hosting this Zoom, but we'll clean it up in post. Only a certain peanut, bred specifically for the proper size and look of the shell, makes the cut for sale at Major League Baseball games.
Hmm.
Although grown in several states, hint, hint, What is the baseball peanut called? I think we already heard the right answer.
Virginia peanut.
It's the Virginia, yes. Which, yes, by the way, just for the record, is grown in the Carolinas, Texas, and New Mexico.
Okay.
I think I see where you're going with these, Stephen.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good one. The Sports Business Journal reported in 2017 the average age of a Major League Baseball viewer with a V was
87.
45.
62.
I mean, if you take Jim and Mara and do some fancy math, you end up right where you need to be, 57 years old.
Really? Wow.
For the record, how many years older than the average age viewer of the NBA?
Probably 25. 30, 25, something like that.
You guys are getting kind of funny, but it's 15, and that's frankly enough if you start thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So baseball should be concerned about that statistic.
Yep.
They better be.
Well, but there's always a growing crop of old people.
True, but don't they want to reach a younger audience?
I think just listening to my own family, I think younger people get impatient with baseball. They say it just moves too slow. We want something faster.
As a little league coach, I can't agree more with that. It's the hardest thing sometimes to get them to look at where the ball is standing out in the field for more than 5 minutes. Spinning around, throwing their cap around. Oh, look, a fly, you know.
That's why hockey is nice.
And there it went.
Yeah.
Well, I like basketball.
I'm a Canuck. I'm loyal to my hockey, so.
Hockey's good.
And fast.
I'm sticking with baseball. I love baseball.
Yeah.
I like baseball, too.
The Red Sox.
I mean, I like basketball, which is a fast-paced game. Of course, I went to University of Virginia, which has sort of made its name from slowing it down, but it is a fast-paced game.
Have you guys watched some of the Major League Baseball doubleheaders where they play seven innings? What do you guys think?
I'm in the middle of paying attention to one right now.
It's a wacky year. I don't know.
I thought I had heard that they were considering making that a permanent change in the game.
Probably not this. Well, maybe the doubleheader thing. I hope they make the extra innings start with a guy on second permanent, because
terrible, terrible, awful, mm-hmm. awful. Nope.
Nope. We don't need 15 inning games. That's enough.
Well,
10-11 is good.
Play until someone wins. That's a revolutionary concept.
That could be like a game of cricket and go on for 3 days.
Well, every inning they should remove somebody from the field.
Ooh.
I love that.
It's like the Hunger Games version of baseball.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Come on.
Harry Carey sniping from the press box.
Well, here goes another one.
Another one bites the dust.
Professors, we've only gotten through two here, and we're halfway through the show.
All right. Lead on, McDuff.
A study conducted in March 2020, reflecting the opinion of 2,250 subscribers, asked, quote, if one of the following sports had to vanish entirely, which would it be? The sports supplied as possible choices were soccer, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Who won?
Football,
American probably. Football. American football, yeah.
The fake time.
Said football hit it at 46% of the vote. That's a...
Wow. I used to love football. It used to be like a religion. And then I had kids, and all those concussion reports came out, and I'm thrilled to death. None of my kids can care less about football.
None are interested. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So dangerous.
Absolutely. FYI, basketball was on the other end of that spectrum. So that's the one apparently everybody wants to retain. Only
really?
Getting 7%.
I thought soccer would have been on there. Number one on there.
Soccer's kind of growing because there are people from so many other places here now for whom that's their major sport that is really kind of growing.
It's genuinely international in a way.
Yeah,
that
it is.
So is basketball these days, and it's also the easiest sport to play as a pickup. Just two guys and a ball, and you can play a variation of basketball.
Yeah.
One-on-one hockey just doesn't cut it. So
you got to play three posts.
How about this one? How many pounds of that baseball game day staple in shell peanuts that would normally be consumed at ball games may remain in storage during this season?
Oh.
Pounds or tons?
Right. That's what I was going to ask.
Tons, I would think. Pounds.
Oh.
How long? 200.
I'd say more like 2,000.
Yeah.
How about a few more orders of magnitude?
2 million.
10,000.
I'm giving it to you. 2.3 million pounds of in-shell peanuts.
Wow.
Per year.
That is a lot of peanuts.
Baseball. That's a lot. So, that is a
lot. Don't think it's stale. No. Apparently not.
Not for a long time.
Bad, peanuts, they don't peanuts, get stale.
Peanuts last for a long time.
Yeah.
They do.
That's
they
a
do.
Whole lot of allergies.
Especially Virginia peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, now, right. One thing you can do is you can make boil peanuts with them, and then they'll last even longer.
Or you can feed them to pigs, and you end up with really good hams, so I have read.
Is I'm that not true? Kidding.
Are you Virginians that. Do that, too.
I love that.
I'm fairly sure some Southerner was the first person to do that.
No way.
I've read it in my Nero Wolfe novels. I don't know if it's actually true, but it feels true.
Huh.
It should be true.
Yeah, why not?
And as every week, this week's edition of the Beth Oldjar Show is brought to you by bacon. Bacon is awesome.
Little pigs are just bacon seeds. Come on.
Wait a minute. Are we suddenly going to replace Zombie Beth with Bacon Beth now?
You know, when I think about it, Beth, the Virginia Peanut Company, which is down on the Eastern Shore, is not too far from the Smithfield ham producers.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 9 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We have some questions written by Professor Stephen Manning. Here's a good one. Who holds the Major League Baseball record for consecutive games played?
Oh, that Orioles guy. What's his name?
Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah,
Cal Ripken Jr.
Cal Ripken Jr. was 2,632 consecutive games. Who held the record before him?
Is that Lou Gehrig?
Yeah, the Iron Man.
I think it was Lou Gehrig. Well,
yeah.
Technically, he did the game Luke before Gehrig. Never mind. I was trying to make a joke.
This is
assuming that there was a distance between. Never mind.
I love the way that you did this percentage, Stephen. It said Gehrig. So Gehrig was 2,130. Gehrig played in 2,164 in 17 seasons. So 98% of the games he ever played in his career were in service to that record. That's incredible. Wow. Absolutely incredible. What are the details surrounding the longest game ever played in professional baseball history?
Hey,
let's do how many innings?
They were just 25 innings, I think it was.
Yeah, it's 20-something.
25, no, 26. Yeah.
No, you're not going to believe this, but holy smokes, it was north of that.
Wow, this must be.
Yeah, like who was pitching? What, the 30? Yeah.
35.
Like farther back, if it's going to be more than 26.
You know, it says here that there were 33 innings.
Oh.
That's a baseball game in hell. I mean,
yeah.
Just the other day, I was watching MLB.com. I forget what game I was watching, and they talked about the longest game ever being 26 innings. But maybe this is after a certain point, like modern era or something. I don't know.
So you know what it says is that it's the longest game ever in professional history, which includes the minors. So the Pawtucket Red Sox played the Rochester Red Wings. And it's a real game because that gets recorded into the record books. Are you sitting down? I think you all are. 8 hours, 25 minutes.
You wonder if anybody in either of those towns ever went to a baseball game again.
I probably stretched out over more than one day, too. If it was started at night, they probably didn't finish the same day.
That's exactly right. It says after a 30-minute delay from the scheduled 8:25 p.m. start time because of lighting problems, the first 32 innings were played on April 18th into the early morning of the 19th with the teams locked in a tie. The game was called at 4 a.m. It was finally resumed and decided in the 33rd on June 23rd with, of course, making Heather happy, Pawtucket taking the win at 3-2. Wow.
Now, how do you deal with pitching at that point? Because you can't possibly have that many pitchers.
Well, no, other players come in and pitch.
Yeah, I know, but...
Not pitchers.
Now, if other players are coming in and pitching, how is the score 3-2? These teams must have been awful.
It reminds me of the old days of the Tigers. I'm like, if Don Kelly is pitching in this game, holy smoke.
But he could do a lot of things.
No, he could.
I think he played every position on the field.
Yeah, yep. Wasn't the Detroit-Milwaukee game the other night when it was like 12-1, they had the shortstop pitching in the ninth?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, it was okay. So.
Those facts were from a story I was reading about the Pawtucket Red Sox, which is the Red Sox AAA team leaving Pawtucket and moving the team to Worcester, Mass. Pawtucket, of course, is in Rhode Island. So that's where that story that those facts came from.
Gotcha.
Let's switch gears for our final questions of the day. How many miles of public beaches are there in New York City?
New York City?
Mm-hmm.
None?
Counting all the boroughs.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Public beaches. 25. And if it's a
beach along the Hudson River, that counts, right?
Oh, it's very small because it's all privately owned.
Relatively small. No, Jim hits 25 and he's over, but not by too much.
18.
It's a crazy guess. Yeah, it's 14 miles of public beaches in New York City. So it's small, you know. Again, I can't help but think of Seinfeld. Wait, Kramer, you took your swimming lessons in the dirtiest public waterway in the United States of America? Kramer's response, technically Norfolk has more gross tonnage.
I just remember Bobby Kennedy saying one time, if you fell into the East River, you wouldn't drown, you would dissolve.
Probably.
Couple more here, profs. Couple more. Saffron is taken from the crimson red stigmas of the saffron crocus. How many stigmas or tiny threads are there in every flower of that crocus?
Not that many, which is why it's so expensive.
Yeah, it's three. It's three. And are you sitting down? How many flowers does it take to make a single ounce of saffron?
Oh, probably 20,000 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 100.
It's 4,000 flowers.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
To make an ounce. Yeah.
This is why it's the most expensive spice in the world.
That is like a New Year's Day good rice float.
at least. Oh, my gosh. So you won't Here we go.
You won't be making saffron rice tomorrow night, Beth?
Ooh.
I will not. And part of the reason for that is that saffron is not really part of my flavor profile. I don't particularly like it, which means I'm not a paella person.
at that cost.
Yeah.
So good.
I am a paella person. Ooh, yes.
Let's be clear, by the way, when it comes to the paella, I learned this during the summer. The only service of the saffron is the coloring of the rice, which is really important to the people of Spain. It must be the right rice color. So those flowers, we salute you.
More power to you.
Okay, here we go. We're going to wrap it up. These questions are great, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
What was the peak year for drive-in theaters in the United States? We can go by part of a decade if you want to.
1958.
63.
I would 60s. Guess the 70s, actually. No?
You know, Jim was the first one I heard, and basically he's right. It's late 50s. How many drive-in theaters were there in the United States?
Thousands.
3,000. It says here there were 4,000 drive-in theaters.
4,000.
Wow.
But as of basically...
Doesn't everybody else think about this idea of drive-ins being repurposed in the pandemic for public space. I just find that
if only they were still around. Yes.
Yeah.
It would be great.
I remember the last movie I saw at a drive-in.
Because you could use them for a lot of things. You could use them for drive-in worship as well, which has been done in the past.
Which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, it would be great if they were just available. Because that happened to try to catch the beach crowd when I was growing up.
Wait a minute, they show movies there? Oh.
So as of the late 20-teens, how far had the number from the late 50s gone from 4,000?
Oh, it's probably down to about 800 now, isn't it?
160, some.
Like 400.
Yeah.
That's sad.
350.
Listening to you all guess these numbers is always interesting. You know, it's only about 300.
Wow.
Of course, Ford, Wyoming in Metro Detroit is one of the old timers still kicking. You can show a first run movie if you can stay in your car, relatively speaking.
That correlates also with declining declining birth rates.
Like I said, who goes to a drive-in to watch a movie?
Okay.
I'm so confused.
I'll explain later.
Is that why my middle name is Jaws 3?
Yeah, your middle name's Concessions.
I've only been to a drive-in once in my entire life when I was quite a bit younger, but I can remember the movie that I saw there, and it was Gremlins, and it was spectacular.
Oh my, I feel so old.
I can remember going with my whole family to see the Ten Commandments in, what was it, 1956, 57, whoa, something like that?
Now I feel less old, so thank you.
We hate to tell you, that wasn't a drive-in.
We're actually there, Jim.
That wasn't a drive-in.
That was real life.
You all are pretty much on fire, and I gotta say thanks to the listeners and the panel for filling in for my bad internet connection today. But I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. So it's time to say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye,
Beth.
Bye,
Heather. Jim.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Steven.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Jeff.
Let's go to the lobby and get ourselves a treat.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.